Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to throw out of the gun. Steps, pressure. Down goes Sorensen. Randy Gregory with the sack.
What are your expectations for Randy Gregory after a two-year absence? He's going to rejoin the Dallas Cowboys defensive line. That was announced yesterday. I'm Ari Tepkin in for Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Roy White, Troy Hughes, 105.3 The Fan, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, 877-881-1053. Your next chance to win $1,000, 8-16. Be listening all day, every day. Turn it on, leave it on. Be listed to be winning $1,000, 16 after the hour, every single hour. RJ, you found an interesting article earlier this week that had the Cowboys, correct me if I'm wrong, listed as having a top 10 offensive line and a top 10 defensive line. This was prior to Randy Gregory being reinstated.
Right. They had the number 8 defensive line in the NFL. This is according, pass rush. Called a pass rush.
So not the interior of their defensive line, but just their pass
rush. Well, I mean, it could be anything because you can get pressure from the inside. But this is from Pro Football Focus. And, you know, they released the offensive line rankings last week. And they came out with the Philadelphia Eagles as the number one offensive line. In terms of if you take all the grades, so left tackle had an 86.4, left guard 74.8, center 91.3, right guard 88.3, right tackle 86.2, that they had the number one overall offensive line. Meanwhile, the Cowboys came in number two. And interestingly enough, like if you look at Lael Collins, this is on a 100-point scale. He was a 50.7.
He did not grade well at all.
But his second half graded significantly higher than his first half of the season last year.
Well, it was. If that's the case, then his first half was next to a zero.
Well, maybe it was the final quarter of the season.
They noted that. They noted that in their write-up. They said at right tackle, Lael Collins rebounded after some early season struggles to at least flash some competent play down the stretch. That's true.
He also had 51 pressures allowed.
Wow, that's
what it's 3.5 a game.
When you consider that Travis Frederick hasn't allowed a sack in 3 years. 51 total pressures in a single season seems like a lot.
The other interesting one is that Tyron Smith graded out to below an 80. Now, he missed some time. He was hurt. So, maybe that factors in. But clearly, Travis Frederick with a 90.8, who somehow was less than, you know, he was rated lower than Jason Kelce. And then you have Zach Martin, who was the best ranked and rated player.
Right guard in the league, yeah.
Yeah, 92.2. They have Connor Williams as the left guard, and they gave him they used his college grade of 85.7. So they have the number 2 offensive line. They had the number 8 pass rush. Okay, the number 8 pass rush. And how they rank it is, again, on that scale of 0 to 100. Malik Collins was the weak link at 46.8. Taco Charlton was a 52.5. They gave Tyrone Crawford a very solid grade. They gave Tyrone Crawford a better grade than David Irving last year. And then DeMarcus Lawrence got a 94.1. So this is they got pressure on 38% of their rushes last year. So that was 7th in the league. You don't win in the NFL. You win with 3 positions, right? O-line, D-line, quarterback. You give me a top 10 of each, and I am going to be in the mix in the conversation to win a Super Bowl. Well, they don't have a top 10 quarterback. I love Dak as much as I'm the biggest Dak Prescott fan in DFW. Not even Dak Prescott is as big of a Dak Prescott fan as I am. But he's not top 10 quarterback. He's not top 10 quarterback.
Is he top 15?
Yes. Right, close. I mean, he's like...
I think he's between 10 and 15. I'd say that's reasonable.
I would say
he's the top half of quarterbacks.
He's in
the
range of conversation to, like, be there in any given year, is what I would say. Like, he's also potentially in the realm of being in the conversation of outside of the top 15, in my opinion, based on what he delivers in a given season. But you're right. Like, between 10 and... He's going to fall between, like, 10 and 18, probably.
I would say 12 and 16. I don't think he can get the top 10. But, look, I think he's Cam Newton. I think he's...
Superman.
Well, Cam Newton can't throw.
No, you're right.
I mean, Cam's a 50% passer.
But Dak can't run like that either.
No, he can't. And he doesn't have the arm strength.
That's probably a good thing that he can't run like that because that's not sustainable.
You know, their best, if you look at, you follow Sharp Football on Twitter.
Yeah, he's the best.
They will mark, he has put some posts up that the Cowboys' most efficient offensive plays are Dak runs. Those are their best plays. Now, they're not their most frequent, but they're the most efficient ones. But you tell me right now, and there's been a lot of, like, we forget. We think Cowboys had a down year last year. Bro, they were 9-7 without Zeke and Tyron and Sean Lee for a chunk.
And Adrian Claiborne looking like Lawrence Taylor against them.
They were 9-7. Like, when is that a bad year? That's their bad year? So, Jason Garrett, when he's had a quarterback.
Now, not to discredit that, though, but I always, people go, oh, yeah, they were 9-7. They beat an Eagles team that laid down in week 17. Like, so when we talk about that win, all right, so they're 8-8. You know, it's somehow 9-7 in hindsight feels a lot better, but it was an 8-8 season. Like, it was another mediocre, well below expectations. Well, not well below expectations, but certainly below expectation season.
But consider who they missed.
I understand.
8-8.
Even considering all those misses, you can't tell me that a team that was 13-3 the season before and could have been 14-2 had they played the final game of the season like it meant something. Then they lose six games because they lost three guys. If that's possible, then maybe that's why they did so much to address the depth, you know, in the linebacking core to mitigate that Sean Lee injury and to mitigate a Tyron Smith absence by getting another offensive lineman in Connor Williams. I mean, perhaps it makes up for it, but if three guys cost you six games, that's concerning because we go into the season with zero guarantees of their health.
No, it's not three guys. It's one guy that can't overcome. I mean, it's the head coach that can't overcome anything outside of
that's different conversation for sure.
Yeah,
but
because I'll come back with you know, when the head coach has had his quarterback the last 4 years, 37-15. That's the fact. When he's had his quarterback, he's 37-15. And I don't know what they would have done against the Eagles and Nick Foles in that final game, because if you look at Nick Foles in that first game, I mean, they weren't exactly a juggernaut right out of the gate. You know, it was early on in the Nick Foles experiment. But that said, I mean, the Eagles are certainly a better team, and they showed as much in the postseason.
But the bottom line, Chop, is you're right. If football is about three things at its core, it's about the quarterback, rushing the quarterback and protecting the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you pay.
So where does that leave us then with what the expectations should be for the Cowboys? Because on the one hand, the national and somewhat of the local perspective as well is we don't have the weapons to keep up with the best offenses in the NFL, and we don't have the defense yet, as currently constructed based on what we all believe, to win us games on its own. So why should we be optimistic because the Cowboys rank highly in these three areas, RJ?
I would think that, look, as we get more smart about sports as the years go on, we realize what really matters and what really doesn't. Like, we've come to realize that judging a pitcher based on their win-loss record doesn't really show anything. And we've also, I think, come to realize that the way we used to think about sports and football is that, boy, you've got to have a number one receiver, otherwise you're screwed. You've got to have a great running back, otherwise you're screwed. Yet, when you dive into it, you saw last year that, or even just D'Angelo Williams fairly effectively replaced Le'Veon Bell when he replaced him for that six games, you know. Rod Smith out averaged per carry Zeke Elliott last year. That's not to say he's better than Zeke, but he out per carry, he outgained him. It matters that if your offensive line, your defensive line, your quarterback, I mean, the quarterback's the weaker link of the three, but I would much rather have the position they're in now than to have a really good wide receiving core and a bad defensive pass rush, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and look, I think when you look at Super Bowl champions over the last decade, you have to have a top five offense or a top five defense. You don't have to have both. And the majority of teams that have won Super Bowls over the last decade...
But it feels like you need a top 10 of both, like competing in that range. I know top five is pretty specific, and I don't mean to blow this whole sure. thing off the rails, because I know we don't have the numbers right in front of us of like how many Super Bowl contenders were in both top 10 offense and defense. But when I think about the great offenses that are always up there, the Saints, the Packers, you know, for those types of teams, when they've won it, it's because their defense has also carried some of that load as well.
Yeah, but I don't know that they're top 10 defenses. And look,
Years they were. The Saints were and the Packers were when they won it.
The most important, if I think the Cowboys are going to have a top five offense, okay? That's where my argument starts at. And the majority of teams that have won Super Bowls with a top five defense, like you're talking about one or two over the last decade. Mm-hmm. But I think the Cowboys are going to have a top five offense. So the most important metric then, if they do, beyond having a top five offense or top five defense or top 10 defense, whatever it is third down conversion percentage. Can they get all, and turnovers, which that's not necessarily, that tends to be a product of luck. Mm-hmm. You know, that Rod Marinelli over the course of his career has been a defensive coordinator that accumulates a lot of turnovers. And yet the Cowboys have been horrible turning teams over as long as Rod Marinelli has been here. But if they can't turn teams over, they have to get off the field on third down. That more than anything else will determine their success. Pass rush, getting off the field in third down. And
that offensive line doing their job when it's third and two and them just taking over on a play. Like, that can't be overstated how important that is in a football game throughout the game. It's like, if you can continue to have your offensive line, they know you're running. Everybody in the stadium knows you're running and you still bludgeon them away. Like, you suck the will out of a team.
I'm trying to look this up, and I'm unable to find it, but there was a time where I want to say it was 06. This team led the league in sacks and couldn't get an interception. That just goes to show you that the turnover aspect is so arbitrary that you can't plan on forcing turnovers. You could plan on getting to the quarterback. You could plan on protecting the quarterback. You could plan on having your quarterback play well or play average or play safe or play gunslinger. But you can't plan on turnovers. You just can't. That becomes way too arbitrary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.